Helele watuwa ya chabu labo. Halala watuwa ya chabu labo. Halala watuwa ya chabu labo. Helele watuwa ya chabu labo.
That was Hugh Masekela from the album Hope. We heard the track called Aban Goma. And that was by request all the way from South Africa from a friend of this show. Frequent listener Nalumino requested that. I play some African music on this show. And unfortunately, my collection is sorely weak on that. So I hope to maybe get some more. Nalumino gave me some great suggestions. I had fun chatting with him on Facebook the other day. This is In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. My name's Ken. Welcome, listeners. Got a couple hours of great jazz music, and we have some great guests with us as well here in the studio to talk about a brand new CD that came out. We've got Frank Varela, Ricky Marshall, and Diva Varela here with us. Two-thirds of the VLM project. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us, Ken.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're here on the show with us. Yeah, so we've got a brand new CD out, VLM Project, a great, great group playing in the Hartford area. Hartford and Springfield, Mass. At times, too, right?
Yeah.
You guys originally from Springfield area, right?
Yeah, I'm from Springfield. Born and raised.
Yeah, all right. VLM Project is Frank Varela on guitar, Ricky Marshall on drums, and Bob Laramie, who's not with us here today, on bass. And how come Bob's not here today?
He's probably gigging somewhere.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Bob is definitely in very high demand.
Yeah, he's a great bassist.
Yeah. So, Frank, this album, mostly your tunes, all except for one, I guess.
Yep, Giant Steps is the only one that's not mine.
Right. Now, was there any kind of concept behind this album? Was there any kind of sound you were trying to get, or any kind of concept that you were trying to put together with this collection of compositions?
Basically, it was just tunes that I've written over the years and played over the years.
Yeah.
That I've recorded them before on other CDs.
Right.
But I wanted to do one that was more spontaneous. It was more live sounding.
Yeah,
The other ones that we did were more produced.
Okay.
So I felt like I wanted to do something that one was just had more of a live feeling to it.
Right. On the CD, Baby, where you've got it listed, you described your music. I don't know if this was your words or someone else wrote it, but as the kind of music that easily morphs between Wes Montgomery, Carlos Santana, and Jimi Hendrix. I think that's what it says. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just basically, it's just moving in and out of style to a certain extent.
I mean, if I was to describe your playing, that would be kind of like the characteristic that, that you can move between all these styles, and you do it within the same song a lot of times.
Yeah.
Which I think would be really difficult to do.
I think we've been doing that. Rick and I have been doing that kind of thing for a long time, so it's kind of, we have a lot of experience doing that. I mean, the CD is basically what we've kind of learned from playing live.
We wanted to get an album together that kind of like captured the spontaneity and the musical rapport that we have, and what you said about, Wes and Carlos Santana. I think because of our influences, we're as equally influenced as we are by Coltrane as we are by like Led Zeppelin.
Right.
And
you can definitely
we're
tell
that age, folks.
That's and you definitely can tell that in the live performances. That's why it's such a joy to go to your shows. So let's give the listeners a taste of some of this music. We're going to start out with Ganja Groove. Is there anything you want to say about it before I play it? I was going to say what inspired Ganja Groove, but maybe we shouldn't go there.
I think it was basically the crowd that we were playing for at the time. That tune's probably maybe 7 years old or something.
Yeah.
So it was, who we were playing for. I figured I'd give it a title that, fit the crowd.
All right, cool. Okay. This is Ganja Groove. Thank you. The VLM Project and Frank Varela. It's Frank Varela's project. I mean, all you guys have been playing a long time together, right?
Yeah. What,
15 years?
Probably longer than that.
Yeah. And another thing you can tell when you see one of the VLM Project shows is kind of the sort of the empathy that goes on, like you play as one. Do you feel that when you play?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that for me, that's one of the reasons why I love playing with Frank and Bob, because sometimes it is the mental telepathy between us is, you know, it's crazy sometimes. Sometimes we'll be playing and, you know, me and Frank will be comping under one of Bob's solos and we'll hit things rhythmically together and we'll just look at each other and smile, you know.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, that particular track, Ganja Groove, kind of illustrated the kind of morphing that goes on there. It kind of started out with sort of a Wes Montgomery thing, and then it got more of like a jazz fusion thing, you know, maybe like a Larry Coryell kind of sound. And then, you know, toward the end, it was just kind of like shred guitar, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix or Alan Holdsworth, like you were saying. But my question is, coming out of that, is that something that you've planned? Is it part of the composition, something that you worked out in advance, or do you kind of let it just go where it goes?
I think that just kind of happened over a period of time from playing together.
Yeah.
I mean, originally we probably started playing the tune completely, you know, with a straight ahead, more kind of feeling, you know. And then I think when we got towards the end of the tune, everybody started building.
Right.
So I started feeling more like playing that kind of style in there.
So it does kind of happen kind of extemporaneously. You just kind of, that's a big word.
I was worried.
I don't know what it meant if I used it right, but it just kind of, it kind of flows. You let the music take you where it goes, it sounds.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have English teachers listening to the show. Yeah, I think the thing about playing with that sound, I mean, a lot of times the notes are really not much different. It's just you get the sustain on the guitar and it just enables you to do certain things that you can't do if you just have a clean sound.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's still, stylistically, I still consider it, you know, somewhat jazz, you know, in the jazz vein.
Oh, yeah.
I think the phrasing is definitely jazz. I mean, everything that we do, even when we're playing funk, our phrasing is still, like in the jazz idiom, you know, the form is still
right,
a jazz form.
Right. But Ricky, I like rarely hear you play like Max Roach kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I rarely hear you do that. I mean, do you feel comfortable in that setting if you need to be?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. I mean, that's, you know, that's the root of where my playing comes from, you know, from listening to cats like Max and, you know, Tony and Jack DeJohnette, my brother, Eddie Marshall.
Right.
But I think jazz is about evolving and constant evolving.
Right.
I take a lot of all the different influences, you know, from Ringo Starr to, you know, Dennis Chambers. You know?
Yeah.
It's all in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got queued up Giant Steps. Of course, the great John Coltrane composition, often talked about as one of the most difficult pieces to play. Anything you want to say about, you know, you want to set this up in any way, Giant Steps? What inspired you to put this on the album?
Well, we take this tune. Most people know this tune as a really fast bop tune. And we kind of do a little Latin thing to it.
Huh.
That was Frank's idea.
Yeah.
And it really makes the melody stand out. And it's one of my favorite tunes on the album. One of the favorite that we play, actually.
Yeah. And another one, maybe they're all like this, but another one where you kind of take it from straight ahead jazz and just take it to another.
Yeah, it's like a Frank Zappa tune near the end. But you know.
Yeah, all right. Hey, is Frank Zappa, is that something that you listened to? And was that an inspiration at all to you, Frank's music? Frank?
Oh, well, I definitely listened to him in the, you know, when I first started listening to the music, you know, many years ago.
Yeah.
That was some of the earlier albums.
I love Frank Zappa, man. I love
his
stuff.
I think he's a great American composer.
Yeah. Talk about complex music. I can't imagine just playing and orchestrating that stuff.
Yeah, you have to be a pretty amazing player to play with them.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear Giant Steps, as I said, John Coltrane composition, as performed by Frank Varela and the VLM Project.
Thank you. kid to say I told you so. And if I ever hurt you, I only hurt myself as well. Is that any way for a man to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? I love you. Check when I brought it home to your baby, and I never spent not even one red cent. Is that any way for a man to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? Somebody you can love, trust, and understand. I know that I can be a part of you no one else can be. But I got to hear you say, I got to hear you say, I'm only flesh and blood, but I'm here at your command. I could be the king of everything, or just a tiny grain of sand. Is that any way for a man to carry on? You'll ever know.
Yeah, that was excellent, excellent, Ricky Marshall on vocals on that one. An unreleased track, so this is the only place you'll hear that one.
First time I heard it. thanks, Ricky.
No, hey, it sounded good.
I know it as like a old blood. I think one of the original like Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
It was on the first Blood, Sweat, and Tears
incarnations.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Al Kooper playing a killer organ on it. But this was VLM, Varela Laramie Marshall Project.
Yes.
And that kind of shows some of the range of music that you can hear if you go see the VLM Project. And you can do that every Sunday evening, right?
Yeah, and right in Manchester, Connecticut at the Hartford Road Cafe.
Right. And you usually do a set or two or a set and a half of your own stuff and then kind of open it up as a jam session.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, yeah. And all players of all levels are invited.
Yeah.
I have a lot of students that come down, me and Frank, and come on down and play.
The first Sunday of every month, we have a featured artist.
Right. And upcoming next?
Chris Jensen will be there on July 8th.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the first week because it's probably going to be busy.
Oh,
a lot of people might be away, but
right,
we figured
right.
we'd do it on
so
the 8th instead.
July 8th?
Yes.
VLM Project with Chris Jensen, who's just really one of my favorite tenor sax players in the area.
Yeah, he's great. He's amazing.
He's a great player.
Yeah, and you get a chance to jam with him maybe. So, and the rest of these fine players here.
And then Diva will be featured in September.
Cool.
Our own Diva Varela.
Yeah, and Diva's here. Hey, Diva, why don't you say hello?
Diva's here?
Diva. Hello. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to get to some of Diva's music or an album that was released of Frank and Diva. Yes, it's called Diva and Frank Varela is how it's listed. And the name of the album is So Real. We're going to get to that in a short while. But let's see. So we heard, I'm not sure the right name of that title, Loves You More. How do you say
Love
it?
You More Than You'll Ever Know.
Right, right. And that's a Donnie Hathaway composition?
It's the Donnie Hathaway version of Al Kooper's tune.
It was done on the first. It was actually on the first Blood, Sweat, and Tears album. It's an
right,
Al Kooper
right,
tune, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Not Alice Cooper, Al Kooper.
I know that. And we started out that set with Giant Steps, John Coltrane's original, performed by Frank Varela from the album Grandma's Revenge. I just want to talk about jazz music and what's been happening. You know, I had another guest on this show, and he was saying, and he's right, he goes, man, it's like survival music. You know, you got to want to die for this music. You got to want to lay it all out there, you know, promote it like hell, because it seems to be an audience kind of a oh man, I don't want to say dwindling audience, but the audience is getting older. There's not a lot of young people who really appreciate the music. There's a lot of young musicians, though. Sometimes you'll see a wide range of ages, but a lot of times all the younger cats are musicians themselves. You know, not a lot of people that just go out there to hear the music. And I don't know, I've got some ideas on, like, what do you think is the answer to that? What does jazz have to do? A lot of people have been talking about shedding the word jazz, calling it something else.
No, it is what it is. It's jazz. And it's a great American art form. It's an art form that's created right here. And I think we should celebrate. I think we got to do a better job of getting the word out that this music is still here. And I think a lot of people, you know, when they say jazz, especially young people, they think, you know, oh, swing music, Benny Goodman.
Right, right.
Which is a part of it and a very important part of it. But I think it's an ever-evolving thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think we have to, you know, cultivate new players, which we are. I mean, I have a ton of really great students that, you know, scare me how good they are. And so there is an interest in it. I think we just have to get better ways to promote it, you know. And it is a grassroots thing. I mean, you know.
Well, what I think has to be done or the direction I think we have to go is more a lot of what you're doing, actually. I think, like, I look at the fusion era of the, you know, mid-70s, and it was really popular back then, you know.
That's what I...
John McLaughlin, Larry Coryell, they would fill big, big venues. So I think, like, kind of moving away from the hard bop, Art Blakey, even though I love that music, probably play more of it on the show than anything else. I think that the direction has to move into more electronics and combining hip hop and all that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a good stepping stone for someone that's listening to, you know, if they hear like when I first started listening to fusion, that's what got me into jazz.
Right.
Because some of the artists that were playing fusion also played jazz, more traditional jazz too.
Right.
So I would check out the fusion album because I could relate more to that.
Right.
Because that's
right.
where, you know, I was playing blues and rock stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I listened, then I checked out their more straight ahead stuff and I started to like that.
Yeah.
And then I started checking out who they were influenced by, you know. And then I started to appreciate that stuff too. So
right.
It's a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Frank said, I mean, there's a lineage, you know, to this music, you know,
and that's one of the beautiful things about it is the whole history and tradition of it,
you know. And like for me, because my brother Eddie was a drummer,
right.
you know, and he played with cats like Stan Getz and Ahmad Jamal, McCoy Tyner. So I always heard that stuff, but you know, I was a young kid. I liked, you know, James Brown and all that other stuff. So when fusion came out, and it was more of a rock funk based thing, and I'd listen to Herbie. And I go, wow, that's great. And my brother would go, well, if you like this, you should listen to some of the stuff we played years ago. And that's how I, you know, learned about Miles and Coltrane and, you know,
yeah.
like going back to the original, the lineage.
Right. It's the same thing with me, I guess, with Frank and Diva as well.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So we solved that problem, right?
We'll solve all the world's problems. Yeah, just give us a couple more seconds.
Actually, I had another guest on. Do you know Zakai Curtis, Curtis Brothers, Lupez and Zakai Curtis? Zakai was on here a couple weeks ago, and he's, you know, he's doing his jazz thing, very Art Blakey and Latin based stuff. But he's got another project, and he's calling it stretch music. He can't book a lot of clubs. He'll go in a lot of clubs and say, hey, you know, book my act. It's jazz, and they just say, no, we don't want to do it. So that's why he's doing it, to get. Be able to book into a wider range of venues.
And that's kind of what we do, you know. I mean, we do some straight ahead stuff, some standards, our originals, you know. We do some Stevie Wonder things, you know, Donny Hathaway.
Right.
We do some blues things where I'm on vocals, you know. So we try to do a little bit of everything, but, you know, we still keep that kind of like jazz form with what we do.
Yeah, we don't try to. We don't want to get too far away from that.
Because that's our roots.
Right.
That's what we love.
But you want to make the music
more
accessible, but
exactly.
you don't water it down or anything.
No.
You guys are full out, you know, kill it every time you go on stage.
I think music can be, as long as it's creative and it's coming from you know your heart when you're playing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's rock oriented or jazz oriented or whatever style.
I'm with you. I'm not so sure the general public is with you, but you know. I'm with you, and the hardcore jazz fans are with you. But let's move on, actually. Let's play another one from your album. I had queued up the title cut,
okay.
Grandma's Revenge.
All right.
Anything you need to say about it?
Let's tell them about the tune, man.
Well, it's more of a – it's probably the most fusion kind of style tune on the CD,
all right.
I would say.
All right. Let's hear it. We'll be right back.
Baby on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's Diva Varela and Frank Varela from the album So Real. It's recorded maybe, how many, when was that recorded?
2005.
Diva? 2005? Hey, why don't you move that mic a little closer to you? Oh, there it is. All right. Hey, Diva.
Hello.
All right. Let's see. That was, we heard two tracks from that album. Why don't you say what we heard? Last one, Memphis Blues?
West Coast Blues.
Yeah,
West Montgomery Tune.
Yeah, all right.
Which I actually was inspired to sing after hearing it in a bathroom in a restaurant in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the Nancy Wilson version.
All right.
And I stood there in the bathroom the whole entire song listening to it saying, I've got to do this. You know.
I heard another vocal version of it by Corinne Allison. You ever hear Corinne Allison?
No.
Great singer, yeah. And that also had on it, West Coast Blues, right? Frank Varela on guitars, Mike Nuno on bass, and Rick Marshall right here on drums. And before that, we heard some of your flute playing on that tell me about that tune.
Oh, that's a Herbie Mann tune. We did that because it had a nice groove, and it was really the groove that we were going for with that, and Bob Laramie really set the stage for that.
Yeah.
On that. He really shined in that tune.
So. Yeah. And Frank did a screaming guitar solo on that one as well.
As always.
As always. That's right.
How long have you guys been married?
I'll let her answer that because I probably won't be as accurate.
Yeah, you're smart.
I think about 29 years.
Yeah.
Did
music bring you together?
Yes, we actually met at a jam session in Springfield.
Okay. All right. That's nice. Were you jamming? I mean,
we were both sitting in. Yeah.
Cool.
We were jamming.
Oftentimes, we go hear VLM Project in Manchester, Connecticut, or South Windsor, or elsewhere, and you sit in and do some vocals. You play a killing harmonica, too.
I get a lot of mileage out of that harmonica, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And I used to play harmonica with, we used to play in Springfield with some of the folks Rick knows, with Emmett Spencer and Shelton Laster. And you know, we'd work on all these tunes and practice so hard, and then I'd whip out that harmonica and, you know, bring the house down. And they always made fun of me for that, actually.
Uh-huh. All right.
But, yeah, I've been playing that since I was maybe 10 years old.
Yeah. Maybe later in the show we'll do I think you got a harmonica track on that.
We do.
Blues track, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe we'll
Diva
get to that.
Is a great, she's too, I'll just talk about her. She's a great vocalist, plays a ton of instruments. She plays guitar.
Yeah.
A little bit of keyboards.
Yeah.
She had a band where she was actually playing bass.
Yeah.
She can rock on the bass too.
No kidding.
She's really good. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, you'll have
my
to do that.
My sister from another mister.
All right. All right, Rick, I got queued up something from your older brother, who sadly passed away a couple years ago, I think. Now,
yeah,
right?
Last year, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Eddie Marshall, a great drummer, mostly known for playing with a great vibe player, Bobby Hutcherson, and others.
Yeah, he's played with just about everybody. He's living in San Francisco at the time of his death, and he'd been playing with just about everybody, from Ahmad Jamal, Stan Getz, to Freddie Hubbard, to everybody. And he's probably my biggest inspiration, my biggest reason for, you know, wanting to play drums.
And
you know?
Introduced you to a lot of the music that, that you still listen to, obviously.
Yeah.
What do we got on queued up here?
I think we have, Holy Mischief. And it's a tune that he wrote. He was a great writer as well. And it's a tune that he wrote. Great tune. It just shows his versatility on the drums and just how rhythmically ahead of the time he was. He was just a great drummer.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it. We'll be right back. smoking. Oof. Bobby Hutcherson from the album Knuckle Bean. And we heard the title track from that album, written by Eddie Marshall. Album released back in 1977. Yeah, 77. And that's Bobby Hutcherson on vibes, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, George Cables on piano, Hadley Kalaman on flute, James Leary on bass, and of course, Eddie Marshall, the late Eddie Marshall, on drums. Before that, we heard from one of Eddie Marshall's albums as a leader. And this is Eddie Marshall and Holy Mischief. And definitely Eddie created some mischief there on the drums. And we heard the title track from that, Holy Mistress. Mischief. Mischief. I get myself in trouble with that. I want to move on now to inspiration of Frank Varela's, and that would be Wes Montgomery, right?
Yeah, definitely. And this is, you're going to play Twisted Blues.
Yep.
Right? The thing that was amazing about him is he could play, be playing over a lot of changes and stuff, but he could play simple things that work over the chords, and he would build up, just make it sound easy.
Yeah.
And if you ever saw videos of him playing, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's see it. Let's listen to it. Thank you. right. George Benson. Another big influence of yours, right, Frank? George Benson from the album Bad Benson.
Yeah, definitely. George Benson. He's a great guitar player.
Yeah. And that is from an album called Bad Benson. And we heard a track that's part of the VLM repertoire. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we do it.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah. And rock out on it. Well, George Benson kind of rocked out on that as well. Hey, before we go any further, while I got you guys on the air, you might want to talk. Well, we played a lot from Frank's new album, Grandma's Revenge. And you can purchase that where, Frank? Where can you get that?
On CD Baby. You can download it or you can buy the CD.
Right.
Or you can come down to the gigs. We're playing tomorrow at the Hartford Road Cafe.
That's the best.
Come down live, see the band.
That's
buy
the best thing to do. Best thing to
and
do.
We always have them with us.
Yeah. Over at Hartford Road Cafe, Manchester. I don't know the exact address, but...
It's definitely on Hartford Road. Yeah. I know that much.
I think it's 378 Hartford Road.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool
club. It's a great
club.
Place. Good, it's nice. Good food.
Yeah.
You know, so you can come down. We're playing outside when the weather permits.
Yeah, it's nice in the summer in the patio. Yeah.
Yeah. Neighbors don't complain.
Yeah, they're usually out in the street hanging out with us.
They might complain. We just don't hear about it.
That's true. Yeah, definitely good scene down at the Hartford Road. Do that. Pick up the album either on CD Baby or, as we said, preferably come down and see the group and you can buy one there. CD Baby, it's actually where you want to get. I think it's also on iTunes. But if you purchase it on CD Baby, I think the artists get a bigger cut of the pie. So is that right?
Yes, that's why I didn't mention iTunes.
Thanks,
Ken.
But also, there'll be a link from my website. I'll publish this podcast sometime tomorrow on Sunday. And you can go to my website at www.jazzandbeyond.com. And there you can click the podcast link and you'll see the playlist from tonight's show. I have links to where you can purchase all the music. So that's another way you can get to this really great album, Grandma's Revenge. And also I'll have links to the Diva and Frank Varela album, So Real. Thank you. right, in the background, Jimmy Smith from the album Off the Top. It's the Diva Varela pick. Wanted to hear this, and I'm glad she did. Killing Jimmy Smith on Hammond B3, of course. George Benson on guitar, Ron Carter on bass, Grady Tate on drums, and Stanley Turrentine on tenor sax. How's that for a lineup? Nice. All right, we're going to finish up tonight's show with something from Diva and Frank Varela. Before we go, though, definitely want to last chance to plug your upcoming shows. What do you got, Rick?
Well, this coming Wednesday, the 13th, we're actually doing a video shoot.
Yeah.
So and we're doing it at Tools Bar and Grill in New Britain, 136 Main Street, New Britain.
All right. Great club.
Great club. Yeah. They're really, you know, pumping the jazz. And we're one of the first groups to come in, so we're going to...
What night of the week is that?
It's a Wednesday.
A Wednesday
night? And we're going to be probably hitting about 9:30.
Okay. What's the date again?
The 13th of June. So please come on down, be part of the shoot, check out the band, grab something to eat.
Grab a CD?
Yeah, grab a couple
CDs. I'll
be
selling the CDs.
Yeah.
Diva will be there.
All right, good.
Might even get her to do something.
As I said, we're going to finish up with something from the album So Real, from Diva and Frank Varela. And we're going to hear some of Diva's work on the harmonica, on the harp. So this is called Casey's Blues. Anything you want to say about this?
Nope. All right. Just hit it.
Let's do it.